We're in the middle of discussing Elisha ben Avuya, and b'simcha. Oh, makes me so happy. Okay, she said that just to be nice. Okay, so the Yerushalmi, we started to learn the Yerushalmi, right? And I think we own, help me out here, exactly where
we got
to.
Number five.
We got to number five, wow. We did straight through to number five?
Mm-hmm. No, we skipped.
Oh, we skipped.
Uh-huh.
No, we did all of them.
Okay, we're up to number five. Oh, great. Okay, so I remember discussing number five for sure, right? We don't discuss number five, and how number five, Rabbi Meir is suggesting to Elisha ben Avuya that just like gold and crystal, if it's broken, it can be reconstituted. And we noted that how do you reconstitute gold and crystal?
By fire.
By fire. And so too he can be, he can also be fixed. He can also get back to his original greatness. Avtam chacham sheshrach talmudo yachol lachzor ulamdo kitchila. And here, Elisha ben Avuya says, Dayach Meir, that's enough. I can't chum Shabbat. On one level, right, can't go any further because it's chum Shabbat. On the other hand, he's telling him, you know, Ad Kan, enough of a discussion, enough of a debate. I've had enough. Don't push it. Okay? So before we get to the next one, we noted that, if I remember correctly, we noted that throughout the life of, you know, the sheet here. Same as last time. Same if you need. So if throughout the life of Elisha ben Avuya, at all the key points, we have this idea of fire, right? When he's born, when he dies, and here in the debate about the possibility of his doing tshuva, in each stage, it revolves around fire. Okay, we have the fire that descends with Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yoshua. We have the fire on his grave at the end of the Yerushalmi, and we have the fire that is implicit, and as is often the case in Chazal and Rishonim, the most important things are often between the lines, right? It doesn't use the word fire. It doesn't talk explicitly about fire here in this section, but it's clearly implied. And if we follow carefully, that's what's going on here. Okay? So if you need a sheet, I don't know if you have, right? That's from last time. So, clearly, the key thread in this story is that of fire. It's what connects all the different pieces of Elisha ben Avuya's life. What's the significance of that? So, before I try to suggest something, I'd like to just go on a little bit, and we'll come back to the fire and the significance of it in just a tiny bit. Number six. So, Amalei min heinat yada. How do you know that this tchum Shabbat? Amalei min talfeis desusya davina mani v'holech apayim ama. So, he was able to tell by the footsteps, the hoofbeats of the horse, that he'd gone 2,000 amot. Amalei v'chol hadah chachmata itbach. You have so much chachma. V'let achazerbach. Why don't you do tshuva? Amalei, let anayecho. I can't. Amalei lama. L'nishapam achat hayiti over l'fnei bei karzok Hashem. Rachuv al susi b'yom kippurim shchaliyo b'shabbat. That was an expression of tremendous chutzpah, right? Go past Karshak Hashem on Shabbos, Yom Kippur, riding on a horse. V'shamati bat kol yosein bei Karshak Hashem v'omeret shuvu banim shovivim. In continuation of the pasuk in Yom Yom, there's this voice he hears, this bat kol. He hears this heavenly voice coming from the Karshak Hashem and saying shuvu banim. The continuation of the pasuk is shuvu banim shovivim. Chutz me'el, and the next part is not part of the pasuk, obviously. Chutz me'elish ben Avuya sheyada kochi umarit bi. He knew my power and he rebelled against me. Now there are different ways of understanding sheyada kochi umarit bi, but I'd like to suggest the following idea, and to thereby put the whole Yerushalmi together. If we imagine two scenarios, okay, we imagine two scenarios. Scenario number one, we have an individual who grew up. We have this person, and let's say this person grew up in a small town, someplace in the middle of no place, where there were barely any Jews, and certainly none that had any particular affiliation, knowledge, practice of Torah and mitzvot, and he's never observed a Shabbos in his life. He's never observed a Yom Kippur, for that matter. He has never gone to any kind of yeshiva. He's never opened a chumash, let alone anything more than that. More than that meaning, you know, further along in the process of learning. And he knows he's Jewish, and that's it. And then he comes to wherever, okay? Comes to wherever. And it could be Yerushalayim, or it could be Lahavdil, you know, New York, or far, whatever it is, and, you know, London. He comes to a place, and he ends up, you know, one thing we say, ends up spending Shabbos with a family, going to shul with them, hearing a shir, whatever it is, hearing a nice Dvar Torah. That's person number one. Okay, person number one. Person number two, grew up all his life in a, you know, officially observant home where they kept Shabbos to the degree that they didn't go to work or drive or turn on the lights, whatever. But, you know, it's a very sterile type of Shabbos. Certainly kept Yom Kippur, but wasn't particularly meaningful. He went to yeshiva and had, you know, and studied his Chumash and Mishnah and Gemara in order to get his grades and whatever, if that. And v'chulei v'chulei. He went to shul a gazillion times and basically, you know, was there when everyone around him was talking about things ranging from, you know, business to baseball to fashions to whatever it is. And that's person number two. Okay? And person number two. That's person number two. Which of these two people do you think has a better chance, greater likelihood of at a certain point becoming, right, being exposed to something and being inspired and becoming truly, truly committed to Torah? Okay. I think we all understand that who has the much better shot? Clearly the first one, right? Elisha ben Avuya is the extreme example of the second individual that I just described. Sheyada kochi umaradbi. What Elisha ben Avuya, I believe, is saying to Rabbi Meir is, Rabbi Meir, you're going to inspire me to do tshuva. What are you going to show me? What are you going to teach me? What are you going to tell me that I don't already know? You're going to tell me, you know, some beautiful Mishnah that I've never heard before. You're going to tell me as great, this great pasuk someplace in wherever. I've seen it all. I've done it all. I was there. I was one of the Gedolei Ador. You're going to show me? What are you going to show me new that I haven't seen yet? What are you going to tell me that I haven't heard yet? I was your teacher. I was your Rebbe. What do you think you're going to show me? What are you going to tell me? It's ridiculous. Sheyada kochi umaradbi. There's no hope for Elisha ben Avuya because he's so jaded. He's so callous from all that he's seen. I have so many times we see, you know, people who walk into a shir, oh, you're learning this Sefer of Tanakh. I learned that before. Of course, they really know it. They really understand it. Have they really learned it? Of course not. And it takes sometimes, you know, 2-3 minutes for them to realize that. But the point is that, but there's this sense that I've done it before, I've seen that before, I know it already. You know, what's the point? Elisha ben Avuya has a tremendous challenge. It's not easy for Elisha ben Avuya, and for someone who doesn't know what Elisha ben Avuya knows, who hasn't experienced what he's experiencing. So it's much easier to see something new and to see the beauty of it and to be inspired by it, because he isn't jaded and calloused by what he's experienced so far. This is the story of Elisha ben Avuya. What's the antidote? What's the possible cure? What hope is there for Elisha ben Avuya? Only one thing. And that is the fire. What does the fire represent? So we go back to the first fire in the story. What's the first story? The first fire. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are learning together, and it's Kenetinata Mesinai. It's like when it was first given at Har Sinai. What does that mean? So I want to show you something very beautiful. If you turn the page for a second. Famous story of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. Just very quickly. Yoshiyahu HaMelech, he and his malchut, there's a tremendous tshuva movement. Why? Because they found the Sefer Torah. Okay, famous story of how he is refurbishing the Beit HaMikdash, and they find hidden, buried in the recesses of the Beit HaMikdash, in the secret compartment, they find the Sefer Torah. And all the Mepharshim ask, we found the Sefer Torah, so what? They never seen a Sefer Torah before. What was the big deal? Why were they so shocked by this? Why did this move them so? And a number of Mepharshim, amongst them Rabbi Yoshua Ibn Shuib, you have over here, in his Drashot, one of the great Rishonim, very important Sefer on Chumash. It's not Drashot in the sense of like, you know, a rabbi giving up and getting up. Drashot in the sense that there are different types of Pirushim on Chumash from Rishonim. Some of them go pasuk by pasuk, like let's say the Ramban or that thing. And others, like the Ran, are, you know, in chapters, and they discuss overall, you know, a topic or a parsha or whatever it is. Rabbi Yeshua and Shawib, very important Sefer. It's really a Pirush on Chumash, but it's in the form of these Drashot. And in it, he discusses an idea which is found in earlier and later sources as well. Many Mepharshim make this point. He points out, and we'll just do it very briefly, he says that if you look carefully at the Pesukim, both in Malachim and in Divrei Hayamim, you see that it talks about HaSefer, right? It says Sefer HaTorah Matzati Beit Hashem. It says Sefer HaTorah Matzati Beit Hashem in both places. And he points out, if you look at the part that's underlined, it says, V'lachein Amar Sefer HaTorah Matzati Behe Yidia V'divrei Hayamim Et Sefer Torat Hashem B'yad Moshe. So the Mepharshim say, what was special about this Sefer Torah? It was the original Sefer Torah that had been written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? That's why it says that it's Sefer Torat Hashem B'yad Moshe. I mean, this is the one that Moshe had actually written himself. It says the exact same thing as all the other Sefer Torah. It's letter by letter the same thing. It's no different than anything else. But the difference is, that's the original. The others are copies. And the original is different than copies, no matter how good the copies are. This is what the story of Elisha ben Avuya is about. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, when they learned, it was the real thing. It was the original. Right? It was Knitinata Misinai. They got back to the original Torah as it was given at Har Sinai, and it was the same words, the same psukim, the same mishnayot, the same whatever, but it was Knitinat Misinai. And therefore there was this fire that didn't normally exist when other people learned. The challenge for Elisha ben Avuya and the opportunity, right? The challenge and opportunity for Elisha ben Avuya was what? To be able to appreciate and to be affected by the original, the real Torah, even though he had experienced these facsimiles so many times. And not to be calloused by all of his exposure to Torah on a superficial level, to prevent him from really coming in contact with it in a real way. It's very hard. And this is why I think that the story of Elisha ben Avuya is the story of so many people in our generation. It's very hard for a person who has been exposed to a exposed to something that looks like, you know, davening, something that looks like going to shul, that's something that looks like experiencing a Shabbos, but it's not the real thing. But when they're exposed to it again and again over the course of years and years, to then still be open and fresh enough to be able, when they have the opportunity to get the real thing, to be affected by it, that's a challenge. That's much more difficult than the person who walks in for the first time to a shul and sees a beautiful davening, or someone who comes and, you know, spends a Shabbos and it's their first Shabbos they've ever spent, and they haven't spent any quasi Shabbatot before, and so on and so forth. And that's the story of Elisha ben Avuya. So I'd like to turn for 1 second to show you a Mishnah Avot I think is so beautiful. The Mishnah Avot, interestingly enough, amongst the great Tanaim, Hillel and Shammai, B'yot Shmaya and Avtalion, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, amongst the great Tanaim, of all things, we find a Mishnah, Elisha ben Avuya Omer. And at first glance, it's really surprising. We're quoting Elisha ben Avuya. There aren't enough Tanaim to quote Elisha ben Avuya of all people. But we have to remember, what is Masechet Avot? Masechet Avot is the parallel to Sefer Bereishit. It tells us through narrative. It teaches us Torah through narrative, not through do this and don't do that. It teaches us through role models, through people's triumphs, but also their failures. It teaches us through what people did right, but also what they did wrong. That's the nature of Torah. And therefore, what does it tell us? Look how beautiful this Mishnah is if you understand in the context of the life and lessons of Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya Omer, and again, I don't think it's that he's telling us this, but saying something, what his life story, the story of Elisha ben Avuya tells us the following. Halomed yeled, lamau domer, a person learns when they're young, it's like lidyo ktuva al niyar chadash, it's like writing on a fresh sheet of paper. Valomed zaken, lamau domer, when a person learns when they're old, it's lidyok tuva on the yarmachok. It's like writing on old, you know, reused, recycled paper that's already been used and erased and used again and erased again. It's not the same thing. On one level, he's telling us something we all know, right? I see my little kids when they learn, and it's unbelievable. The capacity of memory it's just mind-boggling, right? It's mind-boggling. I see when my kids come home and they like, you know, the amount that they know by heart and they pick up and remember, it's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And I know, I'm a lot older than my kids. I know it's much harder. Learn and relearn and relearn. It's very hard to retain it. That's true. But that's not what this Mishnah is doing. And I'm not saying it's not saying that, but that's hardly the major point that's saying. Elisha ben Avuya is saying to us, not just through his words, through his life, he's telling us something much deeper. Halomed yel lamau domer l'diok tuval niyar chadash, v'halomed zaken lamau yudomer l'diok tuval niyar machok. Isn't this the essence? Isn't this the challenge of Elisha ben Avuya's life? That can he experience, can he be impacted by, can he be affected and changed by this Torah, by this fire of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua? But after all, it's not a niyar chalak, right? He's not a clean sheet of paper. He's already been exposed to this again and again and again, and it's old hand, and I've seen this before, and it doesn't really make the same impression as on a fresh sheet of paper. He's the ultimate example. That's the challenge of Elisha ben Avuya's life. That's the problem. That's Shiyada Kochi Umaradbi. Does he overcome that challenge? Does he succeed? Or does he fail? So I'm sure that Rabbi Meir would give an affirmative answer, and other Chacham would give a negative answer. You can choose to be an optimist, you can choose to be a pessimist. You can weigh the evidence for yourself and make your own decision. But the point is, whatever the outcome is, this is the challenge, right? This is the difficulty of Elisha ben Avuya's life. This is Shiyada Kochi Marbi, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that Elisha ben Avuya teaches us this lesson, teaches us this issue, this challenge. That's what his whole life was about. Yes?
I don't get how you could actually look at it positively if he converted.
No, I'm talking about whether in the end, as Rabbi Meir said, he did do tshuva in the end of his life, or whether he didn't. That's what I'm saying. Okay, Rabbi Meir was pushing the idea that no, like Zahav and Tzrucha, you can do tshuva, you can, you know, come back, and in the end, Rabbi Meir maintained that he did do tshuva. Right, he cried and he died, and Rabbi Meir said that was tshuva. But it's a you know, you have to really be able to see into Elisha ben Avuya's heart to know what the real answer is, right? And clearly, Rabbi Meir had a different perspective on Elisha ben Avuya and his potential and what the expectation were than other people did. So, is he right or wrong? I don't know. But certainly that this is the question, this is the challenge, that, right, that's what he was saying, that the question is, can you get this fire and can it transform you? That's the challenge of Elisha ben Avuya's life. And the reason it was difficult is because Shiyada Kochi Marbi, or in the words of the Mishnah, L'dyo K'tuva Al Niyar Machuk. Yes, please.
So he was the one who learned Torah from the original
Sefer Torah. No. I say the thing about Yoshiyahu, I'm bringing in just many centuries earlier. Now I'm saying the story of Yoshiyahu, who's one of the kings of Yehuda, Yoshiyahu towards the end of Bayit Rishon, right, is much earlier. Okay. Acher is, is after Churban Bayit Sheni.
Yeshayahu was the one who learned.
Yoshiyahu is the one who found the Sefer. Well, in his time, they found the Sefer Torah. They brought it to him, and he was so moved that he not only did Tshuva, but he got others, etc. You know, the whole thing. The point is, I was just bringing that as an analogy, right? So the mashal about the idea that you can have many copies and can be exposed to many copies, but sometimes you see the original and it moves you, right? I'm saying that that's the idea of the fire of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. That was the opportunity for Elisha ben Avuya, that if he could, despite having seen so many copies, be moved by the original, right? That's the fire that could have reconstituted him. And maybe it did. I don't know. But certainly that was the potential. Yes,
so, number six, what's actually happening? He's hearing
Number six, it says that this is a flashback. Elisha ben Avuya is saying that he heard this voice that said, Shuvu banim, that Hashem speaking to Bnei Yisrael, saying that they should do tshuva. Right? But with the exception of Elisha ben Avuya. Why with the exception of Elisha ben Avuya? Sheyada kochi umar, because he knew my might, my power, and rebelled against me. Now sheyada kochi, koach is used to refer to Torah, right? And I think that that's what's talking about. He's saying, he knew all this Torah, and he still, and so the point is that since he already was exposed to all this Torah, it's very hard for him to do tshuva. Right? Because he's already seen it all already. What's Ryan Mayer going to show him that's new? Okay? And we got the idea? Good? Okay, we're going to move on to the next topic. Okay. Stop this.